Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network this Tuesday, May the 6th. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. We be in Tupelo. And Steve Paisley, Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, hey, Ray, Steve. I hadn't seen you yet today. You look healthy
I'm
and well.
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing well. Got a lot of sleep last night, so yeah, all good.
What's going on in your world, Steve?
Well, I heard you guys talking this last half hour and everything about Mars. Right?
Yes.
I wanted to double check your math, so about how long it would take to get there. So I chose to look it up on Google Maps. I looked it up on Google Maps.
There you go.
Surprisingly said you can't drive there.
Yes.
Right? So I looked up walking directions. It would take an estimated 3,539 years to walk the 137 million miles to Mars, but you probably want to double that because that assumes you're walking 24 hours a day.
Yeah, that's you can't do that.
That's very helpful information.
I just do my part.
That's right. And another 3,700 years to get back, I guess. If you didn't
that's one way.
Well, it depends how many times you stop, too.
Well, then you're, if my wife is along with me, I have to stop.
You're stopping all the time.
You got this whole defying gravity thing you have to deal with forever leaving the Earth's atmosphere.
Right. You know? Let Elon figure that out.
Right. I mean, that can be very frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't overcome gravity.
Yeah, I've tried.
That's happened to me many times.
Yeah. You're not going to make it.
Guess what? Gravity's won every time.
The only human to ever defy gravity was Michael Jordan.
That?
besides the Lord himself.
Yes.
Apparently, there was some Wizard of Oz, which in the... what's the new movie out? The Wizard of Oz. The
Wicked.
Well, we didn't go see it.
Wicked.
There was a. They defy gravity. There's a song about it.
I've never.
Well, you know
Did you go see it?
No.
Okay. I was going to say I'm not going to go see
tornado.
A movie if it's named Wicked.
Right.
Okay. I'm not even going.
I'm not even asking the Lord.
I'm not even. You don't want to be in that theater when the Lord comes back, right?
Absolutely not.
No need to pray over that one.
So let me get
this straight. Well, they had to make the rapture. Why not? He was in the Word. He was watching Wicked.
He was watching Wicked.
When the rapture occurred.
Oh, my goodness.
He got left behind.
Didn't Lot run into something like that, too, I think?
Yeah. His wife... his wife had turned to a pillar of salt.
She was assaulted.
Just saying, people.
Yeah, right. If you go see it,
we better move on.
Yeah,
I would say we move on right here.
Ed, you're asking me if you can go see a movie called Wicked. Okay,
how about we're not talking the Boston like clam chowder. This clam chowder is wicked.
Maybe you should go see the movie No Way.
All right.
Anyway.
So
that was our movie review for the day.
There you go.
Today's
brought to you by Siskel and Ebert. All right. Hey. So you guys have probably seen the leftist blowing up over the fact that Donald Trump, the White House anyway, posted a meme of Donald Trump as the Pope. And now
Ed says that was inappropriate.
Yes.
I thought it was not wise.
Well,
but I'm about to get rebuked, by the president.
You're welcome to have your own opinion about it. I just find it fascinating that all of a sudden the Democrats, which are stringently pro-abortion and not all that godly, all of a sudden they're defending Catholicism as if they're like traditional Catholics. But anyway, a reporter did ask the president about who is right now meeting with the Canadian Prime Minister at the White House. They asked him, this was yesterday, about this meme, and this was his response. Cut 10.
Catholics were not so happy about the image of you looking like the Pope.
Oh, I see. You mean they can't take a joke? You don't mean the Catholics. You mean the fake news media. Not the Catholics loved it. I had nothing to do with it. Somebody made up a picture of me dressed like the Pope, and they put it out on the Internet. That's not me that did it. I have no idea where it came from. Maybe it was AI. But I know nothing about it. I just saw it last evening. Actually, my wife thought it was cute. She said, isn't that nice?
My question about
actually,
it.
I would not be able to be married, though. That would be a lot. I'd have to. To the best of my knowledge, popes aren't big on getting married, are they? Not that we know of, no. No. I think it's the fake news media that, you know, they're fakers.
My question, though, sir, was about the fact that it was put out on the White House account, even though it was AI-generated, it was a joke, it was a meme. Does it at all diminish the substance of the official White House account to have it go out on that particular channel?
Give me a break. It was just somebody did it in fun. It's fine. Have to have a little fun, don't you?
Ed, you're against fun, I guess.
Yeah,
because you didn't like it.
I wish I could do a really good Trump imitation, because that was funny. He says, Catholics loved it. You know, just...
And folks can't be married?
He couldn't be married if he were a clergy. As far as he knows, he couldn't be married.
My favorite part of that though, was it might have been AI. I don't remember posing in the Trump suit, right. But maybe it was AI.
Maybe it was AI. No, listen, I thought it was... I thought it was inappropriate because Pope Francis just died, and they are looking to get another pope. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You know, the president obviously thinks it's just a joke. We just have just a difference of opinion.
You mean he's not really running for pope?
I mean, well, according to him, he is.
I didn't talk to any Catholics about that. I don't know.
I heard some chime in, and they weren't that upset.
Yeah. So that kind of thing goes on. I think we're pretty seared.
Yeah.
To those kind of. What do you call them, memes or whatever like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, memes. I remember someone sending me, this was back 10 years ago.
Now, if you'd have put him up on the cross or something like that.
Absolutely.
That would have been sacrilegious. That would have been blasphemous and sacrilegious. Yeah. And I'm sure even President Trump would have condemned that.
Yes.
Go ahead.
What I hope so. No, and my face appeared in a Batman costume. Now, I liked that. I saved that. Someone here at work did it. There was one of the... One of the Batman movies had come out, and there was my face.
I think they were the subtle way of telling you they wish you wore a mask.
Hey,
cover up the face a little
that
bit.
Could be. I don't know.
Was the day you wore the Batman costume to work.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you stood out in line. No, you.
Maybe it was AI. I don't know. Maybe I dressed up.
That's when you said I'm going to stand in line for tickets with my costume.
No, I'm not. I'm not that far gone. You know, you'd be waiting 2 days, you know,
like
sleeping
people
outside.
Do for concert tickets or when a superhero movie's coming out. And people dress like the characters.
I have embarrassed my family plenty, but I've never done that.
What worried me is when you got up on the roof, said you're going to jump off. But, you know, we talked you out of that at least.
Yeah.
All right, next story. Let's move on.
Yeah, moving on, moving right along.
I'm uncomfortable with all the attention being focused on me.
I got some good news for y'all. This is kind of a cool story. So a woman named Emma Demery. Emma Demery was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And anybody who knows anything about cancer, colon cancer is one of the hardest cancers to hit. And...
To be cured of. Yeah.
And so when she was 23, she was diagnosed. They found a softball-sized tumor and another golf ball-sized tumor. And she had multiple surgeries. She had chemotherapy. She had radiation and the whole cocktail of everything she had. Nothing helped. She was given another couple of years at the most to live. And then she tried a new therapy. University of Minnesota was doing a trial. And it's basically a gene therapy. The researchers are calling it the next frontier of immunotherapy. And they say while most of those are targeting the outside of the cells, they've found a way to target the inside of the cells. So what they did is the cells were retrieved from the cancer. They were altered in a lab using a CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology. CRISPR is the way that they
edit. I know what it is.
They splice. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
So they spliced the gene to make it more effective at hitting the tumor, at getting a tumor. And they put the spliced genes back in her body. It attacked the tumor, and she is now cancer-free.
We talked about this in our story meeting this morning. That was kind of mind-blowing. Now, how about the other people in the trial? Because there was a limited number of people in this trial. Like
all we know is
12
patients in 12? The trial. Demery by far had the best results. So not all of them. I don't know. It doesn't list.
Right.
I didn't list if it's a 9-page.
And her and the fact that she's cancer-free is being attributed to gene therapy.
Yeah. Now, when you get to human trials on something like this with 12 humans, that, I believe, is the first. You have to start with the chemical concept, and you
right.
start it, and then you go to animals and everything. By the time that all gets refined to the point where it looks like it's going to work, then you try it on a small number of humans, 12 in this
unless
case.
It's a vaccine.
Oh, right, unless it's a vaccine.
I'm sorry,
COVID vaccine.
Did I say that out loud?
You put it on millions. but they're getting this thing dialed in, I think, to the point where this could be a very effective treatment of cancer that's very hard to get.
Well, listen, the colonoscopies.
Colonoscopy.
That's saved probably millions of people's lives.
Yes. It's a screening.
I've had it.
Advance.
Many people listening have had it. You've had it, right?
I've had it because my mom died of colon cancer. So my sisters and I have, very early on, we started getting colonoscopies on a more earlier and a more frequent basis than most people. Most people need to get one.
Is it hereditary?
Yeah, it can be.
Can
it's
be?
Genetic. And so,
genetic, I mean?
Yeah.
Well, if not everything goes well, I have some scientists at the University of Minnesota I'd like to introduce you to.
So. Yeah. Well, I go like every 3 years. So,
Ray, you've had that colonoscopy?
What? Colon? Yes. Oh, 6 or 7 times, because they always find something.
Because you find it so enjoyable.
You know what? You do. We all know what you have to do to get ready to go to the doctor there, but you know, it's a modern day miracle of medicine that they can do that and prevent people from getting colon cancer. Cause, when I first went about 8 years ago or so, they found like 3 polyps or
really?
Something yeah. like, you know, that's what they call them. The doctors,
right.
Which I don't know if they're precancerous or I don't know what, or potentially, but that's the reason they go, they get rid of those.
Yes.
And then they set you up for, you know, 5 years or three. I think it's 5 years or 3 years, depending on.
You're probably 5 years every
yeah.
5 years.
So I got to go back next, I think next year, something like that. But yeah, it's, I mean, what I'm saying is that is a, everybody needs to do that.
Yeah, over age 50, I think, is when they recommend.
Over age 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody needs to do that because not every kind of cancer you can, you know, you can screen for. Or you
right.
can, but there are some. Like
yes.
colon cancer.
And that's not the same as, like, they do have these whole body scans and things like that. But I think you are exposing your body to radiation or whatever they
some
use.
Of them.
Some of them.
Yeah.
But this is not that. This is a camera, okay? So your body is not being exposed to high doses of this, that, or the other. It's not pleasant to prepare for it, but the 20 minutes sleep is probably the best you'll get in about every 2 years.
That takes about 2 seconds to take
That's
effect.
Right.
What is that? Some kind of, what is that, right? Some kind of gas they give you there.
Or they give you a little shot, you know,
yeah.
through the, yeah. And it goes into your system and the next thing you know,
well, you don't even know.
They say the count backwards from 100 and you make it to like 97.
Yeah, you're gone.
And then you are gone.
Yeah. Take some of that home with you.
If you
need sleep.
Let me just add a word here, because all of us, circling back around, Steve, to your story, I'm coming up on the 1 year anniversary of my cancer treatments. And I think about this. You think about it every day, right? You think every single day. All of us know people. All of us.
Cancer's everywhere.
Yeah. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. We're living in days of absolute miracles.
Yeah.
That they can do things now that 100 years ago, 50 years ago, no, 10
right.
years ago, 5 years ago, we couldn't dream of. And to imagine, Steve, that these doctors have figured out a way to get inside those cancer cells, it's just fantastic. And we ought to we ought to be very grateful, very grateful for things like this. And we pray for, I mean, colon cancer is one of the toughest ones. Liver cancer, very tough.
Right. Pancreatic.
Pancreatic, very tough. But they're making progress. All the mapping of the human genome has opened up.
Yeah.
Opened up the human cell, and we're living in, and for some of my friends, I'm thinking of one person right now who's struggling with kidney cancer, but he survived for 10 years, and I'm praying for, he's a very dear and very close friend, I'm praying for him. Hold on, because the genetic cavalry is coming in your direction.
There you go.
Hold on, because it's coming.
Yeah. It's interesting, there's two different kinds of responses when this happens. People that...
when what happens?
When you get a scientific breakthrough like this, if you get something like this, it's either, oh, look, we are solving all the problems of science and look how good we are, who needs God, or you delve in further and you see the amazing engineering that you have to tweak to make it done. How could it be anything but God?
Yeah.
And it increases your faith in a God that is allowing us to progress. I don't know what the Tower of Babel was all about, how technological or what they did. It was such a pride thing that God had to say that's enough and no further, or else they'll reach heaven. But technologically, we are rocketing through. AI is going to be huge in this area. Yeah. AI with all these kind of different diseases, it's already making a huge impact on medicine.
You think that cancer? I say cancer's everywhere. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older. And
no, but it is, Tim. It is.
Don't you? Because you're reading these stories about people in their 20s and 30s, you know.
Yeah, they call them turbo cancers.
Well, a lot of that
out of nowhere
might
spread
have
quickly.
Might have been introduced by the vaccine. There's a lot of information, a lot of data that says that the vaccine did us no favors when it comes to those type of cancers. The COVID vaccine.
And to your point, and we'll find out probably within 5 years a lot about that, about that tie-in to what people are saying about cancers and long COVID and all those kinds of things, because those secrets are gonna be unlocked.
Yeah.
Someone's going to talk. China just... I saw something posted that China was now claiming that COVID originated in the United States, which I don't believe.
Area 51.
Yeah,
right.
That's what they're saying.
Is it they're saying
China,
that?
China, yes, yeah.
Area 51?
Area 51, yeah.
So we're going to find out a lot about those kinds of things. But to your point, I do hear about a lot of those kind of cancers affecting young people and extraordinarily unexpectedly high numbers.
Yeah.
So,
well, and to go to the point was raised, are we playing God? Well, who gave the doctors up in Minnesota the wisdom God did?
Yeah.
Who gave them the insight God did? I'll tell you, the best doctors I know believe in God. The best researchers I know believe in God. The best scientists are actually the ones who are most humble, who pray and say, Lord, give us insight to answer these great questions.
I mean, nobody claimed that engineers were playing God when they figured out about sewage being removed from the living environment so
right.
that people don't get, you know, infected with, you know, bacterial diseases. I mean, is that playing God? Because for thousands of years, human beings lived in close proximity with their own waste.
Yes, yes.
Until scientists figured out these carry germs and shorten your lifespan.
Right.
That's not playing God. I mean, refrigeration for food.
Was that Lister? Oh, wasn't that his name?
Right, right.
Where we get Listerine from, the word
right,
Listerine.
Right.
Lister.
Could be.
Wasn't he the one who discovered germs and the effect?
I don't know. Are you talking about, I'm not sure. That could
I think that's right, Tim. I think you're right. I can't think of his first name. Steve, get on that.
I'm on it.
But we don't. I mean, we refrigerate food now to keep it from spoiling,
right.
so it doesn't make us sick. That's not playing God. Nobody ever says that when we talk about those kinds of.
Is it playing God to try to fly to Mars? No. Who gave you the wisdom?
Right.
The creativity, the insight to think of that. God did. Well, it ought to lead you back to God, not away from Him.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the discoverer of the germs, but Louis Pasteur is credited with discovering the germ theory in the 1860s.
Oh, anybody can do that. I'm talking about
yeah.
I'm talking about discovering the actual germs. Anybody can have a theory.
look up. All right. Well, Joseph Lister. Joseph Lister was a prominent British surgeon and medical scientist who lived from 1827 to 1912. He is best known for pioneering antiseptic surgery, which significantly reduced the mortality rates of surgical operations by introducing carbolic acid as a sterilizer for surgical instruments and patients' skin. This is an AI-generated answer, by the way. And it does list sources like the Science Museum and
That sounds right.
So that's fascinating.
Lister.
Yeah.
But I think that's where we get Listerine from.
Press
well,
probably
it would be an antiseptic, yeah.
But I was just kidding about Louis Pasteur. He had the germ. He was the first one who. When did he live, by the way?
He was born in 1822 and died in 1895.
Okay. But I mean, he's the one. You said he's credited with what now?
The germ theory.
Discovery of the germ theory in 1860s. So that'd be probably the medical, more scientific medical discovery, maybe.
Well, when did Joseph Lister live?
It was
he lived 1827 to 1912.
So
that was a pretty good century.
Yeah,
it was. He's born about the same time and lived a little longer,
except for the Civil War.
Yeah, except for that.
Except for a few things like that.
That's right.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. How did we get on this story? Anyway, what do you got left there?
Let me just say the cancer story. That's how we got on.
This is kind of important. Things are popping off in the Middle East right now. Israel has been bombing the airport in
Gaza?
Well, no, in Yemen. The Sana'a airport in Yemen. Yesterday, I believe it was, the Houthis, they believe, threw a missile at Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. And it barely missed the airport. But it was thought to have originated from the Houthis in Yemen, and so Israel didn't miss. They went back and got their the airport there. This is at the same time that Benjamin Netanyahu has decided that or has given the plan that the Israelis are going in, and the word that they're using is conquer Gaza. They're going to go in and occupy Gaza and stay. They're not going in and out.
But it's their country.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I say occupy
your own country.
I say occupy is the wrong word, but they're going to go in and they're going to set up.
They gave Gaza to the Palestinian people to self-govern, and as long as they didn't commit acts of violence against Israelis, well, they did on October the 7th. Was it 7th?
And the years leading up to it, too. By the way,
we know what happened there. 1,200 people died.
So the Houthis thought it was a good idea to launch a missile at Ben-Gurion Airport.
Yeah, they're idiots.
Who walks up to Mike Tyson and takes a swing at him?
Out. No.
But also, our warships out there are fighting them too. In the Gulf, is it the
Red Sea?
Red Sea.
The Red Sea.
And that strip, we don't have time to go into this. That strip of water there is so narrow.
Yeah.
If you call water a strip, that leads to the Suez Canal, which is a major canal.
Important.
It's like the Panama Canal on the other side of the world that a lot of our merchant ships go through there, and the Houthis have been attacking them.
Right.
All right. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.